Each week, our...
Each week, there, that's better. Each week, our worship service incorporates all four of the earth elements, earth, water, air, and fire. In our stones and water ritual, the stones represent a joy, a concern, a sorrow that you might be carrying in your life at this time. Place it into the bowl of water, which represents this beloved community. Set down the stone. Allow this community to hold it with you. During our gathering hymn this morning, you are invited to come forward, choose a stone, and place it into one of the bowls of water, which are located on either aisle. Would you rise now in body or spirit for our hymn, number 108, My Life Flows On in Endless Song. Our offering is gratefully received. It is one of the ways that we exhibit our humanitarian efforts in the world. So tomorrow is World Humanitarian Day, and a great reason to celebrate Levi Draheim. And I thought it would be fun to learn about some Unitarian Universalist humanitarians. The youth activists of our time, like Levi, are braver, bolder, and more committed than I ever remember from my own youth a half century ago. But maybe we're benefiting from the changes in technology that have occurred and allow us to get all kinds of news quickly through the use of personal computing devices. According to the United Nations website, World Humanitarian Day is held every year on the 19th of August to pay tribute to aid workers who risk their lives in humanitarian service and to rally support for people affected by crises around the world. First recognized a decade ago, it occurs on the anniversary of the Baghdad Canal Hotel bombing, in which the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Sergio Vieira de Melote, and 21 others lost their lives. The basic meaning of humanitarian centers on promoting human welfare. Over the past few centuries, at least, the names of humanitarians have included the names for humanitarians have included philanthropist, benefactor, and social reformer, as well as Good Samaritan, a reference to the story told by Jesus in the Gospel of Luke about a traveler who has been robbed, beaten, and left on the side of the road. The half-dead Jewish traveler is ignored by people from his own culture, and finally a Samaritan, a stranger, comes along and helps the injured traveler. From the parable of the Good Samaritan comes the question, who is my neighbor? This may have been the question that Unitarian Joseph Tuckerman asked himself after 25 years as a parish minister, and that guided the next decade and a half of his ministry until his death in 1840. Tuckerman is significant to Unitarian Universalism, particularly because of his humanitarian efforts. I think he can be said to have embodied all of the names that humanitarians have been called. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about who he was, what he did, and what he believed. Joseph Tuckerman was born in 1778. He was a contemporary of William Ellery Channing. They both graduated from Harvard University in 1798, and they were close friends. While Channing preferred to think and write, Tuckerman was more of a doer. Channing urged his friend to study harder for the ministry he felt called to do, but Tuckerman wanted to learn, but not just from books. And I suspect that many of us have also felt that way. 3 years after graduation, Tuckerman was asked by a congregation in the quiet farming village of what is now Chelsea, to the northeast of Boston, to be their minister. He served them for 25 years, preaching twice every Sunday. And I might add, he apparently lost his voice in the process. So I'm glad I'm not preaching twice on Sunday. During this time, Tuckerman was an enthusiastic pastor to the sailors and their migrant families who made their homes in this seaside community between voyages. He was a leader of the Boston Society for the Religious Improvement of Seamen, founded in 1812. Its purpose was to distribute tracts of a religious and moral kind for the use of seamen and to establish a regular divine service on board their merchant vessels so they wouldn't go without Sunday worship. The American Unitarian Association was organized in 1825, a year before Tuckerman resigned from his parish ministry. During several of the preceding years, Channing and others had been talking about a liberal Christianity that emphasized good works and the inborn dignity and goodness of all people. Those who agreed with Channing began to meet and discuss how what would become known as Unitarianism might improve the social conditions of Boston. Among other ideas, the young men among them felt that it was important to attend to their own religious growth, which would provide grounding for their goal of improving conditions among the poor. Begun in 1822, this early form of Sunday school, a forerunner to our lifespan faith formation programs, was called the Association for Religious Improvement. Tuckerman took over their work in 1826 when he was asked to do so by the AUA. While Tuckerman had been in Chelsea, Boston had doubled in size. There were many more immigrants who needed help. In those days, Sunday schools were primarily an outreach program that helped not only with religious instruction, but also taught reading and other skills to adults and children. Tuckerman made sure that kids went to school and had shoes and clothes. Tuckerman's approach was different. He asked people what they needed. He listened to how one unfortunate event, like an illness, would begin a cascade of difficulties that were hard to overcome and sometimes led to poor people stealing or getting involved in other criminal activities. It was a religious rather than secular approach, and he believed successful social service rested on selfless giving, genuine kindness, and unconditional love. In 1834, Tuckerman organized other ministers and their congregations into the Benevolent Fraternity of Unitarian Churches, shortened to BenFrat, to support his ministry at large efforts. Tuckerman was the first community minister in our denomination. His ministry at large assisted people in need through an early form of urban or street ministry. It later served as a major influence on the development of professional social work and a model for other ministers and organizations in the United States and England who wanted to address urban poverty. Thinking about our Brew Food Pantry programs, as well as the work of UUs through organizations such as Voice and UU Social for Social Justice, we can see the echoes of Joseph Tuckerman's response to the question that Jesus asked in the parable of the Good Samaritan: who is my neighbor? For 200 years, Universalists as well as Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists as inheritors of these legacies have acted to promote human welfare, knowing that whatever is done to those who are less fortunate impacts all of us. The promises we make to uphold each other's worth and dignity and to strive for the goal of world community are not lightly made. We have pledged to work for justice, and we shall not be moved. Please remain seated as we sing a chorus and a verse of the popular African-American spiritual and civil rights song, "We Shall Not Be Moved." Anise will lead us. This year's World Humanitarian Day is focusing on the role of women in humanitarian efforts around the globe. According to the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, World Humanitarian Day 2019 is set to celebrate women humanitarians and their undying contribution in making the world a better place. Women humanitarians hold a sense of unparalleled uniqueness, one that adds to the global momentum of female strength, power, and perseverance. It is time to honor the women who have acted as first responders to the darkest hours of crisis. This year's campaign on women humanitarians supports the recognition that women deserve in the strengthening of global humanitarian response, as well as in protection efforts under the international law. You'll note that I gave this section of the service the heading Martha and Wait Still Sharp. But it is my impression that this 20th century humanitarian couple, it is really Martha who carries on her humanitarian endeavors long after the initial project is over. Martha and Reverend Wait Still Sharp are two of only three Americans who have been recognized by the State of Israel as righteous among the nations, and the only couple, an honor bestowed upon them in 2006 for risking their lives to save Jews and dissidents during the Holocaust. A film about their efforts during the early years of World War II is called Defying the Nazis, the Sharps War, an earlier version of which premiered in 2013. It is produced and directed by their grandson, Artemus Jakowski III, himself a Unitarian Universalist, an educator and activist, especially around disability rights. The film took over 10 years to make, and during that time I saw a couple of iterations under different titles. I think the first was The Minister's War. As you can see, Jakowski also shifted his focus. As the film production was refined, it shifted from Wait Still Sharp to include the role of his wife, Martha. In his director's statement, Artemus Jakowski explains how he first learned this story about his grandparents. He was a ninth grader and needed to interview someone on moral courage for a school assignment. So what did he do? He went to his mother. And when he asked her if she had any suggestions for a subject, to my shock, he says, she said, "Talk to your grandmother." What I discovered in doing this assignment and in many years to come is that my grandmother and grandfather had a dramatic story that I had never heard before. This included underground espionage, working to rescue refugees, and opposing the Nazi regime. In the service work that they had performed during World War II in Europe in 1939 and 1940, very early in the war. The Sharps came from very different social backgrounds. Wait Still was from a wealthy, prominent family. He trained at Harvard Law, but felt called to Unitarian ministry. Martha was born to working-class immigrants from England and was raised by an aunt. As a young adult, Martha became a social worker and worked at Hull House and other Chicago settlement houses that helped immigrants establish new lives in the United States. After their marriage and Wait Still's becoming the minister of the Wellesley Hills Unitarian Society, Martha cared for their two children and worked on social and political issues related to the church. Wait Still Sharp was inclined to be politically outspoken and often preached against the anti-Semitic developments happening in Germany long before Hitler became chancellor. In January 1939, the American Unitarian Association telephoned 17 different ministers in succession looking for volunteers to go to Europe and aid in humanitarian relief efforts. The 18th call was to the Sharps. The dangerous new project involved traveling to Czechoslovakia, where there was a large Unitarian community, to lead an emergency relief mission that church leaders described as the first intervention against evil undertaken by the denomination. The Sharps would need to assess the refugee crisis, provide food and shelter and support for refugees, and eventually help many flee the country. They worked in Prague from February through August of that year. Then they returned to Wellesley, narrowly avoiding arrest by the Gestapo. During this time, the Unitarian Service Committee, forerunner of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, or UUSC, was formed, and the Sharps left their children again in 1940 to spend most of the year working in war-torn France and Portugal, where they helped intellectuals, Jews, and others at risk flee the country to provide aid to desperate refugees. When Waitstill left Europe in September 1940, escorting the dissident Jewish writer Leon Feuchtwanger to safety in the United States, it was because Martha gave up her berth on the ship and chose to stay behind. She wanted to assemble a group of children who could immigrate legally and bring them with her when she left later on an ocean liner for New Jersey. She was able to rescue 27 children ages 3 to 16 who arrived safely at the end of December. The Sharps continued to live out the principles of the importance of every person and the aspiration of a world community grounded in peaceful interactions, two of what became our seven principles of Unitarian Universalism. During the remainder of their lives, they passed these values on to their children and grandchildren. When asked to work to ensure the welfare of fellow human beings, they held the line for justice. In the first two parts of this sermon, I have lifted up as exemplars Unitarian Universalist humanitarians, one person from the early years of the 19th century and a couple from the first part of the 20th century. I wanted to share the stories of people you may not be familiar with, people I haven't already preached about here at Brew. Social justice activism and humanitarian efforts have been part of who we are as Unitarian Universalists since the beginning. Unitarians and Universalists work tirelessly to reform our social and political structures. We lobby for prison reform and for health care for the mentally ill. We've worked to abolish slavery and overturn the disenfranchisement of African American men and all women. We look out for the rights of immigrants and of workers, of women, children, and animals across the spectrum of race, class, sexual orientation, and gender identity. We educate and agitate about economic and environmental justice because we know that oppression is intersectional and injustice impacts everyone, no matter our identity. Whatever the needed social reform of their day, UUs have been involved in promoting human welfare. Those who are engaged in humanitarian efforts today have learned from and been influenced and inspired by the people who were philanthropists, benefactors, and social reformers in our shared past. Latifa and Colin Woodhouse are a great example of this. According to T.K. Barger, UU minister and journalist writing for The Blade, the Woodhouses' humanitarian work was inspired by Reverend Waitstill Sharp and his wife, Martha Sharp. Members of the UU congregation of Shelter Rock in Manhasset, New York, they are the 2016 recipients of the Sharp Rescuer Award from the Joukowsky Family Foundation, which promotes humanitarian involvement in the spirit of the Sharps. The Woodhouses have raised tens of thousands of dollars in direct aid for refugees fleeing civil war in Syria. They have gone to Greece themselves on a humanitarian mission to help refugees who were crossing from the Middle East and elsewhere into Europe in search of safety. Latifa Woodhouse, who is originally from Afghanistan, told Barger, "What we saw and what we experienced it was the best religion one could ever have, to really look in the eye of those desperate, despaired people and to reach out to them and to support them financially, physically, with hugs, kisses, and exchanging stories. It was an incredible experience for me. Looking back into history, we tend to pick a few individuals to illustrate the kinds of people we see as shining examples possessing the characteristic of humanitarians. But in truth, all of us, ordinary people who work for justice in the world, are capable of humanitarian impact. Here are a few more contemporary Unitarian Universalists who are engaged in promoting human welfare at this time in human history. Their life's work isn't done. Their stories aren't complete. Maybe you've heard their names, but maybe not. Lena K. Gardner is a leader in the Black Lives of Unitarian Universalism group. She was a founder of the Black Lives Matter organization in Minneapolis. Black Lives Matter is working to ensure that justice prevails when black lives are cut short by violence, whether that is physical or economic. Black Lives of Unitarian Universalism, known by the acronym BLUE, is a specifically UU response to the effects of white supremacy culture within our tradition. It picks up where the voices of African Americans in our tradition were silenced and stopped at the time of the so-called empowerment controversy of the late 1960s and early 1970s, and the failure of the Journey Toward Wholeness program to create real change in the late 1990s. Another group within our denomination, Diverse Revolutionary UU Multicultural Ministries, or DRUM, and BLUE are calling us white UUs to recognize our complicity and to center the voices of people of color and indigenous who have too long been pushed aside, overlooked, and dismissed. From within UU leadership, courageous women of color who speak truth to power are not giving the structures of oppression a pass anymore. 2 years ago, UU Board of Trustees member Christina Rivera made it known that the UUA hiring practices favored white men with privilege and power. Her actions set off rippling effects and responses from the UUA's Boston headquarters and out into the congregations. Ministers and lay leaders are addressing racism and white supremacy culture as never before. It's time for us white UUs to take a hard look at our role, and we need to do that in white spaces. That means white allies, especially men who are working on these issues, are critical to the progress of creating a more equal and just society. Chris Crass is one white UU who is writing and speaking and acting to support the new prophets of American social and cultural reform. You can find him on the front lines of protests around the country. You might have heard of Tim DeChristopher, climate and environmental activist, who was jailed for nearly 2 years in the Southwest for bidding on land in an oil and gas lease auction with no intention of paying for it. DeChristopher uses such tactics to call attention to issues of corporate greed and climate degradation so that the rest of us will be better informed about the need for transparent oversight and improvements in regulations. And then there are all of us, you, who are sitting in the pews. We don't make news the way Levi Draham and the other names I have mentioned this morning do. But we are individually and collectively promoting human welfare by feeding people in this community, by giving them the opportunity to learn language skills, by supporting workers through the purchase of fair trade coffee and chocolate, and by contributing our Split the Plate and special collections. Our humanitarian efforts include the ways we address environmental and climate justice through our commitment to being a green sanctuary, addressing equality and human rights for all people, regardless of national origin, religion, education, age, physical and mental ability, sexual orientation, and gender identity are also humanitarian endeavors. If you are wondering how you can get involved here at BRU or through a national group, I hope you will talk with other members and friends about what they are doing to make the world a better place for all. May our inner humanitarians shine forth brightly and boldly with courage and grace, and may we all be philanthropists, benefactors, social reformers, and good Samaritans, promoting the highest good for the welfare of all. Amen. Blessed be and namaste. Please join me now for a time of prayer and meditation. Spirit of life, Spirit of love, it is easy for us to feel you in our lives when good things are happening, when new jobs are on the horizon, when our accomplishments are being recognized. We celebrate easily, and our friends and family members celebrate with us. It is not so easy, Spirit of life, Spirit of love, to know that you are there with us in the times that are hard. We feel so vulnerable. We need to know that you are with us as we face our own health issues or the health issues of family members, friends, as we cope with the death of loved ones. We need you there, and we need you there through the loving care of our communities, and we are therefore blessed that we are able to gather together as a community of care each Sunday and know that you are expressing yourself through these wonderful people to hold us, to uphold us, and to help us keep going. Spirit of life and love, we are grateful that you are in us and among us. Blessed be. Namaste.